The Blue Jays fall 4-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to talk about it. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Hard to take when Melky Cabrera goes down looking in a three-pitch at bat. He fouls off one pitch, the other two pitches 6 inches off the plate outside, called strikes by Dale Scott. Even harder to take when Scott gives a little delay before the strike three call to make a bigger show of it when he's completely wrong on the call. But there were a lot of other ways for the Blue Jays to get back in the game, not let the game get away to the extent that it did, and come back and win. This wasn't Dale Scott's fault. It just shows up awfully big in that bottom of the ninth inning. But still makes my case that I've been making for years for robot umpires that much stronger. The human element is a wonderful thing, but the human element should apply to the people who are playing the game. The fact that an umpire is a human being doesn't mean a strike is a ball, or a ball is a strike, or a guy's out when he's safe. Robot umpires, the sooner the better. Dave in Scarborough, you're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I tell you what, you're talking about umpires there, and tonight was just another example. As far as I'm concerned, the Blue Jays got robbed. There's been several games this year where I really felt that the umpires were squeezing the strike zone, especially on R.A. Dickey and other pitchers we've had. Like tonight again, that was a very bad call. You know what? He might have struck out. He might have lined out. It might have grounded out, but at least give the guy a chance. It seemed like they squeezed the strike zone on the Jays. Like, I've been watching ever since the 92 World Series, the famous triple play that everyone knows was made, but they didn't get the call. The play at the plate with Robbie Alomar where he scored and they didn't allow it. I mean, over the years, I think the Jays, I mean, everyone's going to say, hey, it's just the way the game goes, but I think the Jays have been robbed this year and really close calls.
Well, everyone also feels that their team constantly, you know what, Yankee fans actually believe that their team gets robbed on a lot of close calls. So,
well,
you know, this is the team you're watching. Tampa Bay feels like they've been roiled by umpires all season long. And the truth of the matter is, I think Dale Scott was equally bad for both teams tonight. But
yeah,
bad still bad.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think, well, let's change the subject now. I think Alex Anthopoulos has really put together a really good team here. And I know the Jays are off to a bad start, and I've been very disappointed. Like, be honest with you, halfway through April, I was really getting down the dumps. But I tell you what, if you're going to be a Blue Jays fan, you gotta stick with the team. You gotta believe in the team, and I believe in these guys. I think they'll turn things around. I just think it's a matter of putting together a winning streak. You know, first you got to win a couple of games, then maybe you try to win two or three series in a row, maybe get a winning streak going. In 1987, the Jays had an 11-game winning streak. They had 2 7-game losing streaks that year. Unfortunately, the last week was what, they choked at. Basically, they lost the season. They lost to Detroit. But I'll tell you something. When the Jays put together a winning streak, when they really put their mind to it, I know they can do it. They got some really quality players, and I think if they just stay focused and try to cut down the strikeouts and just believe in themselves, I believe they'll turn it around. So.
All right, thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. A nice long winning streak would be good, but a nice steady climb back to .500 would be swell too. And the Blue Jays are playing a lot better than they played over the first 30 games of the season. The next 14, 15, they were 10-21. They're 8-6 since, and we've seen much better baseball from them. I don't think it has anything to do with them putting their minds to it. I think they just need to start playing better, and a great win streak would help a lot, but so would 8 wins in every 13 games. That would help too. Benjamin is in Thornhill. Benjamin, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, I'm a really big fan of yours. Actually, I listen to your Jays Talk every night before I go to bed.
Wow, thanks.
No, it's really good. It really helps me go to sleep. Not that you're boring or anything like that, but
I don't know how to take that.
It's entertainment is what it is, and you should be proud of yourself for that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, the first thing is I was kind of wanting to talk about the strike call, but I don't really want to talk about that anymore because the first caller kind of talked about that. That was just two really awful strike calls, and I guess they sort of stuck out because it was the third out in the ninth inning, but that was just kind of made me lose my appetite at this hour. But the thing I kind of want to talk about was, I think it was the eighth inning when the bases were loaded for J.P. Arencibe. Is that right?
Yep.
And the thing that I – look, there's J.P. Arencibe has some strengths, namely his strength, namely his power. But the thing is that for a guy that strikes out so much, and for a guy that doesn't have even an average batting, doesn't even have like an average batting average, how can you really justify putting that guy fourth or fifth in your lineup?
See, and that's a very good question, and I was expecting you to just dump on him for swinging on the first pitch and hitting into a double play. J.P. Arencibe has power, which is something that managers find attractive. He also does actually hit much better with runners on base than with the bases empty. But like over 100 points in OPS for his career. But what it comes down to is that the on-base is below 250. The batting average is around 220. And it's very, very difficult to carry that in the middle of your lineup. The other problem is, though, when you look at the four guys who are hitting behind him, none of them are really lighting it up in Lori, Rasmus, Bonifacio, and Munenori Kawasaki. I mean, you're not going to have Bonifacio or Kawasaki hitting in the middle of the lineup. So your other choices are Lori and Rasmus, and they're both going pretty poorly right now. So there really is no great bat to stick in there so long as you're going with Cabrera, Bautista, Encarnacion in your top three spots, which is terrific, I think. So that's why he's there, but at least he's moved down from fourth to fifth.
No, you're right. You're right. I think that's partially just because he kind of has been on a bit of a cold streak. Maybe that's the reason why, maybe that's not the reason why. But do you think, like, I think personally for this Jays offense anyways, I thought one of Arencibe, Rasmus, or Lori were going to have to really step up and have a better season than they had last year. Because you can't keep relying on the top four. Well, I guess because Reyes is out, so the top three. You can't keep relying on those guys. And Linda's played a lot better, so I'm against right-handers anyways. So I'm happy he was in there. But one quick thing I just thought I'd say. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but two quick things about pitchers in Dunedin. Aaron Sanchez apparently is on the DL because he has lowered velocity, which kind of scared me. I don't know if you've heard anything about that. And the second thing is apparently Josh Johnson had lower velocity, but do you think maybe because it's because of a tune-up?
Well, Josh Johnson is his first rehab start, so I wouldn't worry about that at all. Aaron Sanchez is on the on the 7-day disabled list, and we'll see what happens there. But he's so far from the major leagues that I wouldn't worry about worry about Aaron Sanchez right now. I appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Benjamin. Want to move on and get to some other people. There was something you said in there that I wanted to call. Oh, yeah, Lori Arencibe and Rasmus. You said that you think the Blue Jays needed at least one of them to be better than he was last year. You're absolutely right. And honestly, I expected that all three of them would have better seasons in 2013 than they did in 2012. They still can. Still more than enough time for them to salvage them. And I don't think that they'll be plumbing the depths the way they are all year long. But the Blue Jays really do need more offense from those three guys on a consistent basis. Carlos in Richmond Hill. Carlos, you're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike, I think I'm with you. I think the tide, you can see, even though they lost tonight, is slowly starting to turn. There's two positives I noted from tonight's game and then one negative I wanted to talk to you about. People that are critical of Gibbons, one thing I think he's doing this year that I absolutely love is if your name's not R.A. Dickey, if you don't have your stuff, he wants to keep the team in the game, so he doesn't worry about feelings. He wants to go to the pen as quick as he can to keep the game close.
Yeah, I think he's been doing that quite a bit, for sure, and even with Dickey in the earlier part of the season.
Right, yeah, and it showed again today. Phenomenal job by the bullpen, I think.
Yeah, he wasn't going to let Ramon Ortiz let this game get out of hand.
I mean, if we were in a non-contending year, then maybe, but in a year like this where we've got ground to make up, I love that he's quick with the hook when it looks like the guy doesn't have his stuff. The other thing, I think the other positive we're definitely seeing out of the hitters is the guys are being a lot more patient. You see it with Bautista and Carcione, even Kawasaki, with the walks starting to pile up now, and you weren't seeing that earlier in the year.
Those guys, well, not Kawasaki necessarily, but Bautista and Encarnacion have always been very patient guys. They've always drawn their share of walks, and I think it's just kind of normalizing. I don't think that has anything to do with John Gibbons.
Oh, no. I was just a second positive, unrelated to the first point.
Yeah, that's part of the whole offense waking up and the regression to the mean, if you will, of the offense. There was no way these guys were going to keep being this bad much longer.
You segued into my negative, though, and the last caller touched on it, and it's regression to the mean. JPR and Sebia, and I'm not going to talk about the eighth inning because, I mean, you could swing at the first pitch and put one in the gap, so it's not so much the first pitch, but him hitting 220, 225, that is his mean. Like,
It has been for his major league career, absolutely.
And so I hear him come out and say to the media he thinks of himself as a leader and so on. And again, park the eighth inning at bat. I was watching the game on TV in the seventh inning. It's 4-1. He's leading the bottom of the seventh inning off, and it's 3-1, I believe, the count.
Yep.
I'm literally screaming at the TV, JP, do not swing. And he swings at a pitch that's probably high in ball four, would have gotten him on base to lead the inning off.
Maybe. I mean, the pitch track showed that it was a strike. And to be honest, with the way Dale Scott was calling pitches all night, you can't count on him getting a call right in any spot. I know where you're going, and it feels to me, and I'm sure it's not true, but it feels to me like any time there's a 2-0 pitch or a 3-1 pitch, JP's going to swing. Brett Laurie's going to swing almost no matter where that pitch is. When they get in that sort of hitting advantage count, they're right. Letting it rip.
And is that where, I mean, if we, I don't want to harp on the hitting coach, but if you had like a Hall of Fame type hitting coach, like a Paul Molitor or somebody, you take the guy aside and say, look, what are you doing? Like Aaron Sebia is at 2 walks and 54 strikeouts. That's embarrassing.
I don't think it matters who the hitting coach is. I think the message is the same, and it's up to the player to get to the point where he puts it into practice. And it's a tough thing to do. You know, you can have all the lessons in the world, and you can do all the work in the world, and then when you get into that situation, you think you've got a pitch that you can put, you know, 83 miles deep, and you're jacked up, and you swing at it, and you miss it. And sometimes you don't miss it, and sometimes you do miss it, but I really don't think it has anything to do with the hitting coach. It's on these guys. They need to recognize those pitches. They need to stay in their shoes when they're well ahead in the count and continue to be the ones who dictate the at-bat as opposed to letting it be the other way around. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much. Blue Jays lose 4-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Blue Jays haven't won a series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Won a series against the Rays since August of 2010. They have the opportunity to win a series tomorrow in the 4:37 start. The rubber match of this series. They lose today 4-3. We continue. Tony is in Etobicoke listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard. Thanks so much.
Just a couple of things that I want to mention to you, okay? I want your opinion on this. On the eighth inning, when JPR and Sevilla went up to bat with the bases loaded,
yep,
and he's swinging at the first pitch.
Yep.
I mean, do you think he should have taken a couple more pitches due to the situation?
No.
Or, I mean, is that the right move that he did to swing right through at the first pitch?
Well, obviously wasn't the right move because he hit into a double play,
yeah,
and that was no kidding. Right? But
yeah,
that's, you know, you can't look at the result. You have to look at the process. And if it was a good process, then it's fine. If the process was, I'm looking for a pitch in this location, and if I get it, I'm going to swing at it, and he got that pitch in that location, then absolutely the right thing to do was swing. If he went up there looking and saying, look, this is a they've just brought in a reliever. He's going to try to sneak a get-me-over fastball in for a strike, and I'm going to crush it, then no, that's not the right thing because that's not how it turned out.
Sorry, Mike, don't you think the hitting coach, Mottola, I mean, the Rays were on the bubble at the moment. I was watching the game, right? I mean, don't you think he should have at least, like, advised him and say, hey, bud, just take a pitch before you swing. You know, let's see if this guy is going to be wild or if he's going to be in the zone. You know, they're on the bubble. The bases are loaded. I mean, you don't think Mottola could have advised him like that, at least to take one pitch, not to take two.
I don't. And again, I think if he would have ripped a line drive into the gap in left center, everyone would have been thrilled and everyone would have been praising him for swinging
at the
first pitch.
Yeah, you have to look at it both ways.
Right.
Just one more thing, Mike. I want to know, because I heard about the report of Ricky Romero that he was cruising through the first five innings tonight and then he fell apart again. I mean, what are the chances in your mind that this guy can be fixed again? Because we need help in the rotation in a major league level. Do you think this guy can be ever fixed anymore, or is he always, his career is done?
I would be floored if his career was over. I think that, you know, the number of players, healthy players that you've seen just fall right off at the age of 28 after having been an all-star is minuscule. I don't know if he's ever going to be an all-star again, but he's got, you know, he's young, he's got lots of time. I think Ricky Romero is going to be able to be a big leaguer again and hopefully be able to be a productive big leaguer again. But yeah, he had a rough night tonight, cruising through five innings. And then he walked four straight batters to start the sixth.
Okay. I just want to, before I go, I just want to say hi to my friend Jerry Howard, because I served him and Adam Lind in my restaurant. I missed the Greek on the Danforth for Adam Lind wedding rehearsal.
Very nice.
Tell him it's Tony from Mr. Greek, the waiter, the head waiter from Mr. Greek when you see him. And you can also tell Adam that if you see him.
I don't mind
if they swing by again on the Danforth once in a while. You know, that was a great night. I think it was 3 years ago when Adam Lind married Lakeisha, his wife.
They were down
at the restaurant, Mr. Greek on Danforth. And,
okay, Tony, that's three commercials you got in for your restaurant for free, so thank you very much. A good call. I appreciate it. But buy some time, huh? We could use a couple more sponsors. Definitely. We're going to take a couple more of your phone calls, but first let's listen in on what John Gibbons had to say. Here's the Blue Jays manager in the wake of tonight's 4-3 loss to the Rays.
If you understand, there's a couple of different ways of looking at this, but you were talking before the game about plate discipline in Aaron Sevilla. Is what happened in the eighth inning an example of, I mean, should he have been swinging at the first pitch in that situation?
Yeah, I've got no problem right there. I mean, you're facing the closers coming in. As long as, you know, I think he hit a strike, he just hit it right at the guy. You know, I mean, that wasn't a bat, and a bat to probably judge that off of, but, I mean, we're chasing out of the zone a lot tonight.
Gibby, with the Ramon, you made the decision, I guess, or came to the realization fairly early that he wasn't going to be able to get through too much more. And what was your thinking when you went to get him?
Well, we're still in the game, you know, and our bullpen ended up shutting him down and gave us a chance to win. I mean, we're strong and fresh out there. Yeah, he didn't have it tonight. You know, his command was off, and I mean, that's something he needs. And it was up, you know. If it's down, it's a little bit different, but it was up. But he's pitched great for us. He really has. It's just one of those nights. But we had a chance. I mean, we had a chance late. You know, we just didn't get, you know, we just didn't come out on top.
John, did that look like a strike to you at the end of the game?
No, but you know what? I mean, he's a pitcher's umpire. I mean, he was calling balls. I mean, he was calling strikes all night. I mean, that's just who, you know. I'm not. You know, the last pitch of the game. Not gonna make that as an excuse. He's always been a pitcher's ump, and he did it for both sides. So, I mean, we benefited from that too.
I understand that you could go either way on this, and clearly you got Melky up in the ninth, so I can see the reasoning behind it. But was there a part of you thinking that of pinch running for Melky in the eighth once he reaches there on the walk?
Well, no, he wasn't the tying run. You know, he was the third run there, and we had our big guys coming, the gap home run guys anyway. So, you know, we always think about those things. But you know, if he wasn't the tying run.
Yeah, that's the thing. He wasn't the tying run. That's why Anthony Gose wasn't pinch running at that point in time. He's not going to. Someone on Twitter suggests he should have been hitting for Cabrera or something like that, which is it's a little much. There's John Gibbons. Blue Jays lose at 4-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. We go back to the phones. Christian in Scarborough, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Just want to talk about Brett Laurie. He's having a horrible start to the season. He's not
offensively.
Hitting.
Yes.
Yeah, offensively. Much better defensively. Not hitting, striking out a ton. What's the leash on this guy? How long are you going to parade him out there and have him hit 200.
All year, I would think.
Really?
Well, I mean, the what he gives them on defense is just you watched the first 2 weeks of the season when he was on the DL, right? Saw
Meisterister
and Mark DeRosa trying to play third. Hopefully, you work with Laurie and you can get him back to where he was a couple of years ago. He was when he was having great at bats. He was a patient hitter. He wasn't jumping out of his shoes all the time, and you can get him back to that while you still have him here to provide the Gold Glove level defense that he's providing at third.
Even if he's hitting 200, say after the All-Star break, though.
Well, there's no reason to believe he's going to be hitting 200 after the All-Star break. I mean, you're just being a bit of a fatalist there. But nothing in anything he's ever done at any level would suggest that he's going to continue to hit below 200 for an extended period of time. But he's still giving them the great glove, and that's very, very helpful.
Do you think the short spring he had something to do with this bad start?
I don't know, because he looks so much busier. There's so much more noise in his setup than there was before. And yet he's still drilling triples to right center, so he's not pulling everything. And I think it looks a lot worse than it is because he seems to be so jumpy.
Yeah, no, and I mean the strikeouts. I mean, that tells a story, too. He's on pace.
Yeah, he struck out 31 times in 31 games. So that's quite a bit, for sure. But and that's part of the everything that's going on. He's not walking. He's not hitting for average. Nothing really is going terribly well for him at the plate right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. One other question. Ricky Romero. I'm not sure. He kind of reminds me of the story, and I'm not sure what happened to him, but Dontrell Willis. I know when he came out, he had a great first four or five seasons, and then I haven't heard from him, or I know he was injured or something like that.
Yeah, and he's sort of clinically depressed and stuff. Dontrell, it's a real rough story, but I mean, yeah.
Is there any similarities?
I don't know that I didn't see Dontrell Willis pitch. He had one great year, a couple of other very good years, and then by the age of 25, he was done. And it's a rare thing, and I would hope that it stays exceedingly rare. I know people tend to love to jump to, always compare people to the best who ever played or compare things to the worst possible case scenario. It's possible. It's certainly possible, but I would not imagine that it is probable at this point for that's who Ricky Romero winds up being. I certainly hope not. He had a rough night tonight after the fifth inning, five very strong innings for the Bisons, and then Ricky went out and walked four straight to start the sixth and got yanked, and the game got away from that point, and what was a 7-1 lead turned into a 7-7 tie, but the Bisons did win it 8-7 in the 10th inning on a walk-off single by Andy LaRoche. Blue Jays lose it 4-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Thanks for your calls. We will take a look at what else went on out of town and wrap this thing up, get you set for tomorrow. The rubber match, Blue Jays and Rays. It is the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays go down 4-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. They spot them a 4-0 lead through three innings and cannot come all the way back. Let's take a look at what else went on across the major leagues of baseball today. Jose Quintana took a no-hitter into the seventh inning for the White Sox. David Ortiz ruined it with a broken bat single. They're in the ninth right now. White Sox leading the Red Sox by a score of 3-1. Baltimore Orioles walked it off against the Yankees with a 3-2 win. Nate McClouth with the game-winning home run. It was the Tigers over the Indians 5-1. Max Scherzer is 6-0, and he set down 22 in a row at one point in the ballgame. Going on right now, they are in the bottom of the ninth. Oakland leading Texas 1-0. That home run by Yoenis Cespedes in the third inning still holding up. Astros leading the Royals 3-2 in the bottom of the seventh inning. Angels over the Mariners 3-0 in the bottom of the third. Josh Hamilton with his sixth home run. It's now gone final in Chicago. The White Sox beat the Red Sox 3-1. We are back here tomorrow. Weird start time, but kind of cool. We're on at 4:30 p.m. Eastern for a 4:37 first pitch. Mark Burley against Jeremy Hellickson in the rubber match of this three-game series. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Gord Brunt, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.